everyone, and welcome to a very special and something I'm very excited about, another Transmit City podcast. And this one is a special edition all for Lesbian Invisibility Week. And I am absolutely honoured to be joined by the incredible, inspiring and iconic Linda Riley, as well as another one of the Transmit City Executive Directors, Arlie McDermott. So just a quick little bit about me. My name's Sarah, my pronouns are she, her, and I'm one of the Exec Directors of Transmit City. I also do a lot of work in Wales within the LGBTQ community, especially with young people and many other things like that. So I'm going to pass over to Arlene for her to introduce herself next.
Thanks, Sarah. I'm Arlene McDermott. I am the Allies Exec Director for Trans in the City. Also, probably a lot of people might know me from the London Stock Exchange Group, where my wonderful organisation has afforded me the ability to get involved in all sorts of activism for the LGBTQIA community. I'm leading the Allies initiative with Trans in the City, which I'm really, really proud of. And I'm really looking forward to getting into a conversation about allyship in this one. Linda.
Yes, my name is Linda Riley. My pronouns are she, her. I am the publisher of Diva magazine, and I'm also the founder of Lesbian Visibility Week, and I am a Trans in the City champion.
Indeed. So, Linda, what a great place to start. So tell us a bit more about Lesbian Visibility Week. I know you must get asked this several times a year, but tell us what it is, why it started, and what inspired you to kind of kick it off.
Yeah, so it started in 2020. There was an originally Lesbian Visibility Day, but I thought that wasn't enough to celebrate being a lesbian. Also, I felt very strongly at the time. I was coming to a time where I was introducing myself to people as a cis lesbian, and people were kind of giving me like looks, like I might somehow be transphobic because I was coming out as a cis lesbian, etc. And yeah, I knew within the community through my work with Diva and all the people I've met that it was a very small minority of very loud transphobic voices. And I wanted to do something quite special that would showcase actually how inclusive cis lesbians are. Which is what made me come up with the idea of Lesbian Visibility Week in a nutshell.
Absolutely. And I can tell you that, you know, in the last few years, you know, 2020 is obviously quite recent, but in the last few years, it's clearly gone from strength to strength. And, you know, there's been more events, more things happening, and it's been really good to see. Arlene, tell me a little bit about how you've been involved with Lesbian Visibility Week in the past and why it's important to you.
Oh, it's there's a couple of things. I remember Linda talking about and Polly Shoes as well, actually talking about wanting to re-adopt the word lesbian. You know, yeah. It had become a bit of a word that people weren't using and all this kind of thing. And, you know, and I had an image about it, you know, and what I loved about Lesbian Visibility Week was that we were owning the word again, which I thought was just fantastic and really, really important. You know, it's important that we have our identity. I met Linda through people and contacts. And what was kind of funny was there was a guy sitting next to me in the office who was saying, oh, you really must meet this brilliant woman called Linda Riley, while at the same time I'm on email with Linda Riley. And I was kind of going, I think I'm talking to her already. And we had Linda come along to close the London Stock Exchange in a market close ceremony. Which is a really wonderful thing that we can do. It's a real exclusive event, you know, that not many people get to attend, you know, the closing of the market. And we can put on a really good party at LSEG. And
you can, you know, you definitely can.
And I think, yeah, and I think having Linda close the stock exchange to launch Lesbian Visibility Week the first time and has done it again since and will do it again next week is really, really special. And I think my other proudest moment was also when I had Bobby close the stock exchange as the first out trans woman to do so. You know, and it really means something when you get to kind of mark like that. But then, of course, there's also brilliant things like the Diva Awards, and we have amazing collaboration and discussion that goes on across the community, and across the whole community. You know, you see kind of, you know, allyship across the whole community for the lesbian community. But one other thing that I'd say, why is it also important? It's important because we are continuing to see very few lesbians coming out in the workplace. So, yeah. You know, it's not, you know, we do see gay men coming out in the workplace, but unfortunately, we're still lagging behind in, yeah, in workplace visibility for lesbians. And I think that's, it's across the board. And I think there's a kind of thought that, you know, women are already have barriers in their career because of the gender inequality that some organizations face, and organizations like LSEG are doing everything to break that down, to get rid of those barriers. So if I can hide the fact that I am a lesbian as well, you know, can I hide another barrier that there might be in my way, you know, which of course there isn't. And it's really important that Lesbian Visibility Week and the rest of the year is there to really call that out, to say it is, being a lesbian is not a barrier to you. It's not a barrier to your career. It's never been a barrier to me. You know, I mean, if anything, it's made Linda famous. So bring it on.
Linda's a professional gay. She's a professional lesbian. But it's interesting what you say, because, you know, I was someone, and my brother likes to make jokes about Lesbian Visibility Day and now Lesbian Visibility Week, and says, oh, I can finally see you for 1 week of the year. The rest of the time you're hidden. And he likes to make jokes about me taking off invisibility cloaks and things like that. But the reality is, actually, for me, in my past career, you know, I'm now very, I find myself very fortunate in that I am now very, very visible, especially in Wales. You know, and there's a lot for queer women, lesbians, those who are non-binary, trans women in Wales. And there is, that representation is getting there, should we say. But actually, in previous roles, I was very much not out. So actually, and I did find that it was a complete barrier to my career. So I actually find these days, I feel how lucky I am that I'm able to be openly out in all five of my jobs. So I have five different roles, and, you know, different roles within those. But I feel very, very fortunate that in both my full-time work and my other roles that sit around it, I can now be openly myself, and I can shout it from a rooftop. So not just that, it's seen as a positive for me. It's by people who I work with, people I employ. It's now a positive thing. So for me, it certainly used to be. I used to be in the education sector, and it was certainly a barrier for me at the time. Yeah. I certainly was not safe to come out in that environment. And I think that is the other side of it with Lesbian Visibility Week. You touch on a really important factor there of intersectionality, and something that, you know, there are so many barriers to women in general still. There are still hurdles we have to overcome. And I think it's so important for those that are maybe still struggling with their identity or struggling to come out in their workplace or in their personal lives, that actually this week exists where people can have that representation. And I work with young people, and I can assure you that this week means an awful lot to them, because visibility matters. If you can't see it, you can't be it. And for me, that's what is so important about Lesbian Visibility Week. So yeah, Linda, it's amazing. It's an amazing initiative. And before we go any further, can you tell me why, you know, what, you know, we know you're an incredible trans ally. That's why you're one of our champions in Trans in the City. But can you tell me just a little bit about your journey and allyship as a lesbian, your allyship to the trans, non-binary and gender diverse community?
Yeah, I mean, I can. First of all, just to end on that note, I wanted to say about, we were delighted at Lesbian Visibility Week now to have Nancy Kelly leading it. She's the executive director of it, and that's such a good win for us. So if you're listening in, Nancy, thanks for everything you're doing.
So, and thank you for bringing something to Wales, to the Senedd, because I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you for that as well. It's nice to have something in Wales, so thank you.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic news. So my journey in allyship is been a strange one, because it's not been a deliberate journey. It's just been a natural journey of speaking out. You know, I've always spoke out against injustices, and there was a time where there were a lot of voices being raised with very transphobic comments, and my view was not in my name. And not in the name of Diva, which I of course own, you know, and it wasn't a deliberate attempt to like to be an ally, but I just felt it was my duty to speak out and you know, to be called an ally. I'm very proud of that, but at the same time I wanted to speak out and just say, hey, you know, this is a small minority, very, very loud voices making a big splash, having a lot of contacts with right-wing media. And it was just nothing that Diva wanted to be part of, nor did I personally.
Love that. Let's talk a little bit more about that then, because I think there is this narrative, shall we say, there is this narrative that lesbians are split, and you get some lesbians that are some of the most inclusive of trans women and those who are non-binary. But then there's also this perception that maybe it's right, that there are a number of cis lesbians who are some of the most vocal anti-trans people out there who are making these transphobic comments. So Linda and Eileen, after, you know, tell us a little bit more about what you know, and what you're seeing and what you're witnessing, and any studies that you may have come across that sort of maybe agree or disagree with that.
Do you want to go ahead, Linda?
No, you go, Arlene, with this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, we see a lot of allyship between cis lesbians and the trans and non-binary community. That's for sure. You know, I agree with Linda. It's a... The noise, which unfortunately is driving major decisions to be made that affect people's lives in sport, in, you know, prisons, in politics, in party alignment, in healthcare especially, that, you know, it's incredible the power of the minority, right? So we shouldn't ever think that because it's a minority, it doesn't matter, because it does. And the trans community is suffering at the hand of a misconception that it's only one or two people. So what we know is that, you know, we know from a report that was sponsored last year during Lesbian Visibility Week by Diva and was run by Kantar, that, you know, that lesbians do make up a large number of the allyship that the trans non-binary community have. So that's great. We also know then that we have things like the LGB Alliance, where, again, we have people such as Alison Bailey and others. And I loved Linda. I think it was a couple of years ago, Linda, when you were like, I didn't create Lesbian Visibility Week for this nonsense. And I think you outdid some pretty major people on Twitter that day. And I think it was still called Twitter then. So anyway, you know, so we do see that there are these kinds of organisations that are forming around exclusion of the trans and non-binary community. So that's happening. You're always going to get divides within our community. But I think for trans and non-binary people, there's just absolutely no reason why we as a community shouldn't get behind them. You know, and allyship can be a word that we throw around very lightly. What we're talking about really here is just being a friend. The thing that binds us all in this community is that we have all suffered the same level of discrimination for the same reason, something that we just are, right? And why then is it okay that we push aside a group of people and in some way, you know, discriminate against them for having suffered in exactly the same way as you did? It's the common experience, lived experience, that we all have across our community. For, you know, I can't change who I am, but I know that I may not be accepted. And the trans and non-binary community are just going through that, just like lesbians did in, you know, a few decades ago in Ireland, not that long ago. You know, gay men went through it. You know, we all have to absolutely get together. But and that makes me sad to think that we have those factions now. And that's why Trans in the City, you know, and I'm particularly passionate, and I know you are, Sarah, and obviously you are, Linda, about raising up the voices of allies so that we can, you know, we can show that support and friendship.
Right. We need to shout louder. We need to drown out the, and you're right, it is a minority. And so much of the views that those transphobic views that are being spouted everywhere are based on complete misinformation, sometimes out and out lies. And, you know, we need to come in and you know, myth bust and get rid of all of these and come in and talk about actually, you know, this is the truth, this is the reality. And we've only got to look at the recent CAST review to see just how this minority have managed to infiltrate something that is going to have or potentially have dire, catastrophic impact on trans non-binary young people. And it's because their voices have been loud.
Yeah, and Sarah, let me I work in financial services and I stare at spreadsheets all day. So I'm somebody who just loves a number. But let's just take a second to deal with some of those myths, right? So we've had all of these all out bans in a variety of sport that ban trans women, let's be very clear, trans women from sport.
Exactly.
Right?
So including chess.
Right. And just as an example of how ridiculous this is, you know, there's something like 15,000 women who play rugby in the UK, right? Not all of them at a professional level. The ban of trans women in rugby affected 3 people, right? Mm-hmm. There's something like 268 trans people, trans and non-binary people, who are currently in UK prisons in a population of nearly 84,000 people, right? 268. There is only a handful, 48 of those are in female prisons, and only 5 of them identify as trans women. So the panic attack that's going on right now about, you know, trans women in women's prisons is ridiculous. Refuges, women's refuges have gone through survey after survey after survey of their facility users and their staff, who have said that for decades they have allowed trans women into their facilities because they're all coming in for the same reason. They're all coming in and seeking the help and have a common problem that basically is there to be solved by those refuges. So, you know, and I can go on and on and on about the amount of just utter nonsense that is being put out there. You know, when people talk about trans women in sport, my view is that I don't actually think trans women are very good at sport because they've never won a medal. They've never really outshone in any particular sport. You know, it's outrageous the amount of nonsense that is going on at the moment when you just have to read something a little bit beyond a headline to find out that it's just not true. And I'll shut up on this because I could go on. There was a recent article, and it was, I can't remember who put it out, but it was put out, and it was an article that I think it was Venus Williams who said that she was not going to compete against a man. Okay. So and when you look at the photograph of her competitor, it's supposed to make you think that this was a trans woman. It wasn't. It was a biological woman. It was a cis woman. So it was like, again, it was like, Edith Williams, I'm not going to play against a man. Okay, you're not, you know? So it was this kind of, and actually when you read the article, it's not actually what she said at all. So again, I don't understand why there is such an obsession with this. I don't get it. I really don't.
Well, actually, but it boils down to misogyny is what it boils down to. It boils down to a fear of men, and that all men are predators, and that trans women are, and I hate this, but trans women are men in dresses, which is not the case. Trans women are women, full stop, end of. Let's clear that up right now before anything else. And trans women can be lesbians, trans women can be pansexual, they can be bisexual, but trans women are women, trans men are men. And, you know, again, statistically, there are more trans men out there than there are trans women. So why are we targeting, not we, obviously, but why are people targeting trans women? And Arlene, you and I could rant all day about this because it is infuriating. Yep. It is not fair. And it is catastrophic. It is literally catastrophic. It is costing people's lives. Let's not mess around on this anymore. It is costing people's lives. And that is, you know, that is not in any shape or form. It's not acceptable. Linda, apologies, but we've got on a little rant here. But anything you'd like to add to our rants? Would you like to join in, Linda?
No, I definitely could join in on a rant all day long as well. But something I picked up there when Arlene spoke, when she said about lived experience, and you know, and that is part of the reason I do speak up, because I have lived the experience. I have lived through the 80s. I have lived through the experience of going into a toilet and coming outside and security being because a boyfriend sent their cisgendered girlfriend in, and their girlfriend thought I was going to attack them in the bathroom because I was a lesbian, you know. So I've been through all that, and I'm certainly not going to turn around on the other foot and say, hey, well, I lived that experience, but I'll just treat somebody else in the same way. It's just a ridiculous notion.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. I completely agree with this. Let's try and turn this onto what we're doing. You know, we've talked about the massively beneficial impact that Lesbian Visibility Week has, and actually Diva in itself has, on this inclusion, and actually being an advocate and amplifying the voices of trans women and those who are non-binary. That's something that Diva has been astoundingly good at. But let's talk a little bit more about the different things that's happening. Arlene, what else do you know that's coming up, that's happening in the next sort of couple of months, that is going to give more opportunities for this real visual allyship and maybe some more chances for us to dispel some of these awful myths that are out there right now?
Yeah, so look, we're beginning to kind of kick around a set of statistics similar to the ones that I just mentioned. You know, this I you can't debate the number, right? It's not an opinion, it's a fact. And we want to get behind the get behind the nonsense and arm our allies with information that really allows them to say, okay, so, you know, you're bringing out legislation for three people. I've never seen anything like that happen before, quite frankly. So we want to arm our allies, and we are going to be, and if anybody wants us to, you know, come along and speak about allyship and arm you with some facts, and we have some brilliant infographics as well, then, you know, we can share that. The other thing that I'm sort of really happy to announce on this podcast, we've been talking about it, but officially announce, is that we're also going to organise what we're calling Party at the Plinth. So this is on the 19th of September, unless the date changes, a wonderful installation of 1,000 trans voices, is being erected on the empty plinth in Trafalgar Square. And we want trans and non-binary allies to get behind it, to get around it, and let's have a party and let's celebrate the community and let's really show up and celebrate. So Linda, hopefully you'll be able to get there with your posse. It'd be very, very cool. But what we want to do really is just really amplify trans non-binary voices and really celebrate, because there's a hell of a lot to celebrate here. You know, there's a lot of people to celebrate. Fabulous, wonderful people that we should be just marveling at their strength and their courage, you know, and what they have to go through. I mean, you know, in today's society, if you look at what's going on in the world, and yet you still go ahead with your transition journey. How brave is that? I mean, that's beyond anything I've seen before. That is superhero level bravery. So we should be celebrating that. And that's what we'll be doing. So Party at the Plinth will be releasing some more information about that.
That says so much, doesn't it? You know, for people to be transitioning despite all of the hell that they're facing says an awful lot about how much they need to transition and how much of a life-saving thing that is. Yeah. Linda, talking about celebrations, 30th Diva Awards coming up very, very soon. I mean, that in itself, let's just take a second to recognize what an amazing achievement that in itself is. I know that Arlene and I are both looking forward to it. They're letting me out of Wales again, which, you know, it's letting me out. But yeah, we're very much looking forward to it. But I mean, that really is an opportunity, and you do this a lot, of actually really celebrating everyone within the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we're very excited. You know, it's our 30th birthday this year. Much going on. The fact that we've managed to survive in this digital age and still be a print magazine. Well, obviously, I feel we're more than a magazine now. We are a voice for LGBTQI and non-binary.
It's a community.
Yeah, so it's great the way that it's grown. It's thanks to people like Arlene, you know, with her other hat with the London Stock Exchange, headline sponsoring us. It's just really good to have this strength behind us and this support in the community. It's a great feel, And I think from what I remember last year, and I could be wrong, practically every winner that stood on that stage, if they were an ally, stood up and said, you know, yep. I support my trans siblings. It was a great yeah. feeling and huge support in the room for the trans community.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, there was. There was, definitely. It was really great to see that, actually. And, you know, it's just so lovely when people are able to show up to, you know, your events, Linda, Diva being yeah. just one of them, right? So, you know, you've got the Rainbows, the European Diversity Awards. And what I love about that is that the authenticity of the people there. You know, I went to a lawyer's awards. Oh, that was different. And I mean, lovely. But it is, it's my day job, and I'm not a lawyer, but it is my day job to mix and really great people, really inspiring people. But it wasn't the color kind of full scheme and incredible authenticness that you bring to, you know, to the community. And I think that's what's so amazing about what you do. And not just that, Linda, I know, you know, any of us can reach out to you at any time, and you're always there for us, you know, yeah. as a head lesbian, as you're well known as. So
indeed. Well, if we've got trans elders, then I think we have to have lesbian elders too, don't we now? And talk about Bobby and Emily being our trans elders. And yeah, I think we need lesbian elders now too.
Well,
Diva is extraordinary, and Diva actually plays a part in me, and maybe my coming out. But actually, for me, you know, I didn't see my first openly out person until I was 18 and I left home. You know, I was born in 1985, and very much, you know, I had girlfriends, but it was very much behind closed doors. And it was very much we didn't even have to say to one another, we're not going to talk about this outside of this, because we just knew that it was dangerous and we never would. But yeah. I remember to this day buying my first copy of Diva and having a feeling that I belonged to something, whereas up until that point, I was weird, broken, and alone. And Diva played a massive part in me actually being able to accept who I was, because like I said, if you can't see it, you can't be it. And it was a massive part. So I'm on a personal level here, Linda, going to genuinely thank you for that, giving me that moment of feeling that actually who I was okay. And it was the first time I'd felt that. So Diva's played a massive part, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you again at the awards very in the next few days. But yeah, any last thoughts from you, Arlene, and anything you want to sort of round this up, those final words from you?
I think just, you know, I suppose to anybody who is wondering how they can get involved with trans non-binary allyship, have a look at the Trans in the City website. Have a look at how you can get involved with Trans in the City. You know, we're all about advocacy and uplifting of trans and non-binary voices, especially in the workplace. You know, we're doing everything we can to make the community feel loved and supported. And it's great working with Linda to continue that and to join forces with Lesbian Visibility Week to, you know, make that happen. So, you know, and party at the plinth, look out for it.
Party in plinth. Linda, anything from you?
Yeah, just to say how delighted we are to be partnering with Trans in the City on Lesbian Visibility Week. I haven't had anything to drink. And just, you know, it's a good feeling, you know, because although it's all about celebrating lesbians, remember the, you know, the subline, the subheading is an event for all LGBTQI women, non-binary community. And I think that's really important to remember. Yeah. And I think anybody coming to an event will see that.
Yeah, absolutely. The atmosphere at your events, like Arlene said, is second to none. And yeah, I'm looking forward to having that safe space at the next time. Final thing for me is a massive thank you. You know, Arlene, I'm very fortunate that I get to work with you on a regular basis. Linda, our paths cross several times a year at various things, but Both of you, thank you so much for your time, your passion, your dedication, and your commitment to making sure that we are all as allies doing the most we can do for the trans non-binary community. It's an absolute honor to have had this conversation with you both. And for those of you who are listening and watching, thank you for tuning in. We hope that you have learned something from this, or maybe it's just empowered you a little bit more to learn about how you could be more involved with either Lesbian Visibility Week or in particular Trans in the City. So please, as Aline said, do have a look at the Trans in the City socials, Trans in the City website, and get in touch if you'd like to get involved more with anything that we do. Thank you again, both of you, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.